From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with his study of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of God's judgment as set forth in Chapter 2 of the Epistle. In the two previous messages, we saw that the judgment of God is according to truth. Then it is according to the character of the judge, the holy, righteous, and unchangeable God. In this message, Dr. Cairns will demonstrate that the judgment of God is according to works. The text is Romans chapter 2, verse 6, where we read that God will render to every man according to his deeds. This verse presents the solemn truth that what we do in time has eternal implications. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Coming In, Going Out. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The blessings of the law are not canceled. Jesus confirmed the promise when he bore the penalty. If I keep the commands of my Lord, I may appropriate this promise without question. This day I will come in to my house without fear of evil tidings, and I will come into my closet, expecting to hear good news from my Lord. I will not be afraid to come in unto myself by self-examination, nor to come into my affairs by a diligent inspection of my business. I have a good deal of work to do indoors within my own soul. Oh, for a blessing upon it all, the blessing of the Lord Jesus, who has promised to abide with me. I must also go out. Timidity makes me wish that I could stay within doors and never go into the sinful world again. But I must go out in my calling, and I must go out that I may be helpful to my brethren and useful to the ungodly. I must be a defender of the faith and an assailant of evil. Oh, for a blessing upon my going out this day! Lord, let me go where thou leadest, on thy errands, under thy command, and in the power of thy Spirit. Lord Jesus, turn in with me and be my guest, and then walk out with me, and cause my heart to burn while thou speakest with me by the way.
In times of deep despair I lift my eyes unto the hills where comes my help and aid, unto the God who cares for His own, unto the God.
Peace that never pass away.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
We're turning this evening, as we continue the studies in Romans, to Romans chapter 2, reading the first 10 verses of the chapter together. I suppose we may as well read to chapter 1 or chapter 2, verse 11 to finish the sentence, though we'll only be in our studies going as far as verse 10. Romans chapter 2, commencing to read at the first verse. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. One of the difficulties in conducting an ongoing series for the preacher is that memories are short. Congregations, as to their makeup, change from week to week, and therefore the decision has to be made every time. How much do we paint in what has gone before to make sense of what we're about to say? How much do you take for granted that people will be able to immediately get a grip of? On that decision, a lot depends. I know of a preacher. Well, I have to be honest, I not only knew of him, I knew him very intimately. Many years ago, he did a series of messages on Sunday mornings on the Gospel of John. The first half of each week was a précis of what had gone on the week before. And so, if he preached for 40 minutes, in actual fact, each sermon, as far as new material was concerned, came out at about 20 minutes. Now, going through the Gospel of John at 20-minute chunks is rather a lengthy process. And some people were finding the tedium rather trying. If it would take a long time to get through John like that, I leave it to your imagination how long it would take us to get through Romans. I am already taking a lot of flack, sarcastic flack, you know, from people who like to remind me that if I'm ever going to finish Romans at the rate I'm going, it'll probably be speaking from heaven, or maybe having special Bible studies during the millennium. I don't know what you amillennialists will do. You'll certainly not be able to have any part in those. I say all that just to say that we are coming today to Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Now, obviously, when you look at verse 6, you will see that it starts in the middle of a sentence. So I can't really do that without telling you how we've got there. Remember that having stated his great theme that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or to the Gentile, because therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just by faith shall live. Having stated that, Paul immediately, instead of doing what we would expect him to do, which would be to expound the theme that he has just stated, Paul immediately launches out on a prolonged statement of a truth that is preparatory to expounding the doctrine of justifying grace through faith in Christ. And that is the need of man in his natural state. And so from chapter 1, verse 18, through to the middle of chapter 3, actually somewhat more than the middle of chapter 3, he is showing that while the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, that's the only place that his saving righteousness is revealed, and that apart from the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to us through faith, there is no hope, because outside of being justified by faith alone in Christ alone, there is nothing to be revealed by God and from God but wrath and condemnation. So he starts in verse 18 of chapter 1, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or who would seek to stifle the truth of God in and by their unrighteousness." Throughout the rest of the chapter, he shows how this is true of the Gentiles. And he ends up the chapter with the note of the judgment of God. Now in chapter 2, he starts speaking to someone else. This is what is called an apostrophe. An apostrophe to most people is that little comma that's stuck between the end of a word and an S, which shows possession. Man's boss is his wife, for example. You have that apostrophe in there. Or, "Couldn't you bring me my breakfast to bed, dear?" N apostrophe T. But in rhetoric, an apostrophe is when a person turns away from his main theme or his main construction and speaks to an imaginary person. And it's a rhetorical device that really concentrates a tremendous lot of energy. It takes the discussion out of the realm of the, what you would say, the merely didactic. It's not merely teaching in a professorial fashion. It is making it dramatic and personal. This is something that a great playwright like Shakespeare would make great use of, the apostrophe. And Paul is using it here. He apostrophizes a man. I take it to be a man who's representative of the Jews, though certainly what Paul says is not limited to the Jews. And he's saying, "O man," as the rest of the chapter, especially from verse 17, makes clear, "O self-righteous Jewish man, you have just heard what I have said, and you agree with me 100%. You can say amen and hallelujah, it's dead on the mark, Paul. Those old reprobate Gentiles, those idol worshippers, those pagans, those idolaters, they are all that you say they are, and they're judged as you say they're judged." But Paul is saying, "Do you think that you escape the judgment of God?" That was a great delusion among the Jews. For example, we'll maybe deal with this a little more next week, though I have so much to deal with next week, I don't know if I'll get to it, so I'll say it now. For example, the Talmud makes the what sounds to us the crazy statement, but made all the sense in the world to a Jew, that simply as a Jew living in the Holy Land, was equivalent to keeping all the law. So just being a Jew in the Holy Land meant that you really did not need to worry about the judgment of God. Do you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? What a question. As I say, that's not a question limited to the Jews. That's a question that needs to reverberate around the world today, and especially the Western world, when men have got so smart. They have become so technologically advanced that they imagine they can explain everything in terms of science or scientific theory. The fear of God and the judgment of God, these are things that are not worthy of the attention of, quote, modern man. Do you really think you will escape the judgment of God? That's the question. Thinking that you will escape the judgment of God, can you go on, or will you go on despising the long-suffering, the forbearance, the kindness of God, which should lead you to repentance, but actually is just hardening your heart? Because if that's the case, says Paul, listen very carefully. Far from escaping the judgment of God, you are treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. Every deed you do, says Paul in effect, is a deposit in the bank of the judgment of God. You're treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. And against that background, Paul sets out to show the principles of divine judgment. We have already looked at a couple of those, that it will be according to truth. Second, it will be according to righteousness. We notice that God is called the righteous judge, and his judgment is the righteous judgment of God, verse 5. Now we come, continuing the theme of God's righteous judgment, and Paul states in verse 6 that God judges men and will judge men according to their works, who will render to every man, who will give by way of recompense, who will repay, who will render to every man according to his works. Now, that statement, on one level, is so absolutely simple, straightforward, that I don't need to take any time explaining it. There's not a person here incapable of understanding what that means. God will judge every one of us according to our works. That's what Paul says. Now, that doctrine is not peculiarly or particularly Pauline. It is the common message of the entire Word of God. The message of the Scripture in a multitude of places comes down to this, that what you do in this world is of vital importance with regard to the world to come.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.